Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Independent's Coronavirus Podcast. I'm David Marley, Deputy Editor at The Independent. This podcast is about getting behind the headlines with some of our team, drilling down into the issues that are affecting our lives as we try to navigate our way through these unprecedented times. It also gives us an opportunity to find out more about how the virus is affecting the lives of other people around the world. As we in the UK grapple with how long lockdown will last and what an exit strategy might look like, attention is turning to our closest neighbours to see how they are coping. Some European countries, including Italy, Spain, Denmark and Austria, have started the slow process of lifting restrictions. Germany will also start to ease the lockdown next week, with some shops being allowed to reopen. But in France, President Emmanuel Macron had a different message this week, as he announced the lockdown there would be extended for another month. Today, I'm very pleased to be joined by Anthony Cuthbertson, the Independent's correspondent in Paris, to tell us more about the situation there and how a prolonged lockdown is being received. Hi, Anthony. Thank you for being with us today. To start with, could you just explain a bit about what the lockdown measures are and how strictly they are being enforced?
Hi, David. The lockdown measures in France are some of the strictest in Europe. They have been in place for a month now, since the 17th of March, and they have actually got increasingly tighter since they were first announced. For a start, you need to go outside, you need to have a form on you. Fill out the form saying what you're doing, how long you're going for, and the reasons for leaving are very limited to buying essential items like food and medicine. And originally you could go out for daily exercise as well, but just over a week ago, they announced that all exercise outside, at least in Paris and some other heavily, badly affected areas, would be banned between the hours of 10 and 7. And in terms of how strictly these rules are being enforced, it's incredibly strict. There's been around 500,000 fines handed out to people. And the fines, they started off as 35 euros, and now they've ramped up to 135, ranging right up to 375 euros. More than 8 million people have been checked by police, and 500,000 fines. And some of these fines, there's actually a site tracking police abusing these fines with the sort of allegation that they're using them as a new form of revenue now that there aren't any parking or speeding tickets. And some of the examples I came across was one man who was fined 135 euros when he was stopped with a shopping bag and he had in it some biscuits and some tampons for his wife. And they deemed that that was non-essential. So yeah, it's incredibly strict here. And people, I think, are beginning to get a little bit fed up with Macron, especially knowing that it's going to go on for another month now.
So 500,000 fines, 500,000 separate fines.
Yeah.
That's an incredible number, because I know that in the UK, the police have been getting a bit of stick just for kind of breaking up people having the odd picnic or going to beauty spots. But and there have been some fines and some kind of prosecutions, but nothing on that scale. How have the people kind of responded to that? Are they kind of taking that in their stride, or are they protesting about that?
I think they've got used to it fairly quickly. They are obviously protesting it when it's very, seems quite unjust for being stopped for, you know, going out to get tampons for your wife. But I think that far more, whenever I see the news in the UK, actually, that people are out in the parks and stuff, that they've closed the parks in Paris. It's not even possible to go inside them. So people are taking it a lot more seriously, and I think they understand the risks, because there was quite a high spread of the virus very early on, and people did seem to take it quite seriously.
Was the exercise ban in part because there were still people going out and about, and you needed to kind of stop all that social interaction? Or do people just love kind of jogging in groups in Paris? Is that the issue?
I've honestly never seen more joggers in my life. Paris generally you don't get too many people jogging around anyway, but now that there are hardly any cars on the streets, people were really just using it as an excuse to go outside and get some sunshine, I think, and they put on tracksuits and go out with their form saying they were exercising, but really just to get a breath of fresh air. I think they did it. They banned the exercise during the day, in part to give children a chance to go outside, they said. So if you have a child, you're allowed to go outside and exercise with them during those hours. But yeah, obviously that's very limited.
So this form that you have, that's something you fill out yourself, or it's like a government issued permit to leave, or how does that work?
Yeah, you print it out. You go on the government website, you print it out, and then you fill it out. Let's see if I've got one here, seeing what it says. You've got to write down your name, address, even where you were born, the time of day you're going out, and the reason for you leaving your house. And it says you can't go out for more than 1 hour. You put the time down on it, and if they see that you're not within that time, they'll fine you. And you also can't go more than 1 kilometer from your home.
Wow. So you can't even get on your bike if you wanted to go and pick up stuff from further afield, or?
No, from the beginning, actually, getting on your bicycle has been banned as a form of exercise. Only people who are key workers going to work on their bicycles are allowed to use a bicycle.
Wow. Okay. So that sounds like a significantly tighter situation than we're dealing with in the UK. So Macron made his television address on Monday, where he said this was going to run on for another month, May the 11th, is that the right date?
Yes.
So tell us a bit about what he said. Macron, I suppose, to people outside of France, has a little bit of a reputation of being, you know, slightly pleased with himself, perhaps certainly very self-confident. And we were reporting that he was a bit more humble, perhaps, than we expect him to be when he made his address and apologised for France not being as prepared as it could have been for the outbreak. Was he trying to strike a different tone as he increased the lockdown?
He has, yes. His first address, he used a lot of militaristic rhetoric, saying that we're going to war against this virus. And the same kind of language was used on Monday. He said that the epidemic is not yet under control, but he also admitted a lot of the failings with the French medical system and infrastructure, which he hadn't done before. In fact, a lot of people on social media were laughing at the fact that he seems to have had got a tan over the course of these three televised addresses over the last month. He's progressively getting more tanned, so he's obviously getting some outside activity. So yes, May the 11th, the lockdown is going to start to be eased, with schools and some workplaces opening up again. But any leisure activities, all cinemas, bars, cafes, restaurants, they're going to stay closed until mid-July, at least, he said. And then international travel is on hold, on pause indefinitely. So, but he did say that the epidemic is not yet under control, but he also noted that admissions to intensive care units have fallen, and they've continued to fall since he made the address. They've fallen now for the past 5 days. And he did speak a little bit about the economic impact, which has been particularly heavy on France.
So France has already gone into recession, is that right?
It has, yeah. Bruno Le Maire, the French finance minister, announced last week that France was officially in recession, and had gone, the economy had shrunk by 6%, and they're expecting it to shrink by 8% this year. And he also said that for every month that the country is closed, the economy will shrink by 1.5%. So that's obviously going to be, maybe those figures adjusted since Macron made his speech on Monday.
Presumably, if even as you say, the lockdown will begin to be eased in a month's time, but there still sounds like there's going to be very heavy restrictions for a number of months to come. France would obviously be a big tourist destination in the summer, but if international travels under wraps, and cafes and bars and events, our larger events are also going to be banned until the middle of the summer, presumably that's going to take a massive hit as well.
It is. France is actually the most visited country in the world, and it relies heavily on its tourism industry. So to not have anyone visiting the country, and also not having anybody within the country going to cafes and attractions and events, it's going to be particularly hard on France.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How is the kind of medical response going? There's a lot of criticism here in the UK about the testing regime and how slow we've been to ramp up testing. Matt Hancock, the health secretary, under pressure to hit a very high target he set for the end of April for 100,000 tests a day, which we're nowhere near at the moment. How's that situation playing out with you?
Tests here have been, like many places really, vastly below what is needed. Early on, when the lockdown first began, I was speaking to a friend who's a teacher here in Paris, and he said that almost all his students and all of their parents were showing symptoms, the dry cough and everything like that, yet none of them could be tested because there weren't any tests in place. And by the time there were tests in place, the symptoms had already cleared. So testing has been inadequate, but he has ramped it up. I don't have the exact figure here, but he's ramping up the testing efforts and other measures to help prevent the spread, like introducing face masks for all citizens is something I think he's planning to do soon as well.
That's an interesting move, because that's also something that's been resisted here for now, at least anyway, is this kind of widespread use of masks. Although there was one of the government advisors on the radio the other day saying that basically we should accept that in time it's just going to become a normal part of our everyday life that we should get used to.
I don't know. Are people in London and throughout the UK, are they wearing masks when they go out?
Sporadically, not generally, I would say, but it would be unusual to go out. If you went out for a walk, you'd probably see some people wearing them.
I'd say in the area I'm in, I'm looking out my window, I can see a couple of people and they're both wearing masks. And I'd say at least half the people I see around the streets are wearing masks, or at least some form of face covering, a scarf or a handkerchief tied around their face.
So Paris has been the worst affected part of France, has it, by coronavirus, in the same way that London has in the UK?
Yeah, Paris and the east of France, actually, out towards, they actually ended up shipping some of their ICU patients to bordering countries like Switzerland and Germany. It's out near Alsace, where the other big affected region is.
And how would you characterise the general morale of people in the city, if they've got all these restrictions on them and a long way to go?
It started off pretty positive. The applauses that you've had in the UK, they have been nightly here, every night at 8 p.m. And it's not just for health workers, but for all frontline workers, like supermarket staff, and delivery drivers. But in recent days and weeks, they have started getting less enthusiastic and shorter, at least in my area. They'd normally go on for a couple of minutes and they've just been going on for about 30, 45 seconds. I was doing a voice chat with a friend who lives in Valencia 2 days ago, and he held his phone out the window and it had been going on for 45 minutes there, where they were clapping and cheering and playing instruments. Okay. So, I don't know if the area I'm in particularly is representative of all of Paris, but it does seem like it's becoming less enthusiastic. But generally, there has been, in the building I live in, for example, they put up a poster on the front door saying, join this WhatsApp group or join this Facebook group of all the people in the building. If there are any elderly people or disabled people who don't have access to the shops or need help, then let us know. So that's nice. I've been chatting with my neighbours a lot more. I've lived in this building for a year now, almost a year now, and I've never really spoken to anyone before. And now I'm speaking to lots of them. In fact, the other night, one of my cats didn't come home, and he's quite a greedy guy. He never normally misses a meal. So I put a message out asking if anyone had seen him. And then I went out looking for him. And at around midnight, I heard a cat meowing. And it turned out he had fallen into an underground parking, and it was a two-story drop, vertical drop. And there was no way down there for me to get down and rescue him. So I put out a message on the WhatsApp group and said, or my wife did actually, and said, does anybody have a ladder? And even though it was midnight, within about 5 minutes, three of my neighbors, different neighbors, were down in the courtyard with me, two with ladders and one with a high powered torch. And we managed to coordinate this cat's rescue, which was quite nice. And we had all the rest of the building all peering out their windows watching as we did it. That was quite a nice bit of communal spirit that hasn't existed in this building before. The cat was
how that's playing out, isn't it? There does seem to be that kind of bit of sense of community about it.
Yeah, exactly. The cat was fine in the end. He busted his jaw and he had a sore. He'd sprained his paw. We took him to the vet, which was an odd experience. But he's on some painkillers now and he's recovering well.
Good. Do you think that kind of sense of community will maintain? I mean, do you think people will get? Paris is kind of famous for its protests and people having strong opinions about how the government is coping with things. Is it for the time being that people will let Macron kind of get on with his restrictions, do what he needs to do? But in time, what does that mean? Is there going to be lots of protests about how it's been handled, do you think?
Well, that's a good question. When he first announced the lockdown on the 17th of, he announced it on the 16th of March for the 17th to begin. And it was at a time when there were a lot of protests going on. There'd been obviously the biggest strikes in recent history in Paris and France. And a lot of people were saying, oh, he's just doing this as a political move to prevent mass gatherings and protests. The Yellow Vests, obviously, another example. But it quickly became clear, looking at the rest of the world, that yes, this is obviously a very serious problem. The problem for people who do want to protest Macron is that they're not going to be able to, at least until, I don't know, midsummer, at the earliest, I think. So they'll have to find new ways to protest, maybe online or however. But it's definitely, for a country that does enjoy striking and protesting, something that's not they're not at all used to.
Mm. You mentioned just now that you've been in your apartment there for about a year or so, mm-hmm. Having moved there from London. You've also had a baby daughter Chloe since you moved there.
I have.
So how are you coping with kind of that transition, family life, everything in the lockdown? It's kind of a funny time.
It is. It's a very strange time. So yeah, Chloe is 2 months old now, and she's spent half of her life so far under lockdown, which is bizarre. For the last month, she hasn't seen a single human apart from me and her mother, my wife Charlotte. And she did go to the doctors actually for her 2 month vaccinations last week. But the doctor was wearing goggles and a face mask, and it might as well have been an alien putting in the vaccinations. It's very strange. She has had to meet most of her family by way of video chat. But yes, it is strange. For her, she's obviously quite oblivious to the fact that there's a global pandemic happening. It is very strange, really.
All those kind of normal routines of new family life and kind of play groups and other parents you get to know, or obviously none of those things are happening.
Yeah, exactly. There's again, some WhatsApp groups have formed for people, but even just being able to go for a walk with a buggy out in a park or something is impossible because the parks are closed. So it is hopefully on May the 11th, when he begins to ease restrictions, Macron, some of the parks can at least open so children can enjoy those, because obviously Paris doesn't have the same luxury as London of having great big royal parks to enjoy. It's quite limited here. So when they're closed, it's just a very dense urban environment.
Okay, well, we look forward to finding out what happens over the next few weeks and what happens with the kind of easing of those restrictions next month. Thank you for being with us today, Anthony.
Thank you, David. Thank you
for listening. If you're a new listener, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen. And also do check out the other episodes already recorded in this series on everything from the economy to travel and working from home. And if you have suggestions for things you'd like us to discuss, do get in touch on email at thecoronaviruspodcast@independent.co.uk, or you can use the hashtag IndieCoronavirusPodcast. That's INDY Coronavirus Podcast, and we'll see your post. You can read all about the unfolding pandemic on our website, independent.co.uk, and in our downloadable daily edition app. There's also a new email newsletter that you can sign up to if you want the latest news and advice delivered to your inbox. Thank you so much again for listening, and please join us again next time.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.